fees. I'd have to go to federal court, and it would take forever, and all I could get you would be the care that they denied you. So there's every reason in the world for them to deny you care, because they know the ability to come after you, after them, is very limited. And this is the same thing that would apply to the single payer system that the Democrats were proposing.
Well, exactly. And here's the other part of this. Insurance companies, to really frustrate your ability to recover and your doctor's ability to help you, don't even have to deny care of certain types. All they have to do is delay it for a certain period of time. And some people just get frustrated and give up.
Mm.
And I think that's part of this, where if there needs to be reform in the way insurance operates, it's not on somebody else taking it over. It's on providing a true competitive system where people have more opportunity to walk away from insurance companies that were performing for them and go to someone else who's willing to. I think that's where the competition edge is so important, and it's clear to see in cases like this.
Well, Joe, tell us a little bit about the specifics and the details, because, you know, obviously you went into this surgery thinking you had all your ducks in a row, as, you know, would be normal. Then what happened?
Well, what happened was that part went fine. The immediate rehab in the hospital went fine. I was actually moving, you could almost say, ahead of schedule.
Mm.
And then when I was transitioned to home, the initial company who was contacted to do this and had been in communication with the insurance company that I have, then contacted me and said, hey, we can't do it. We're out of their network.
Oh, no.
Well, this should have been figured out before. But the company, I'm not going to get into the name of my company but at this point, but they should have communicated with this other company, the provider, prior to that point. In other words, there was opportunities to provide information or to disclose this. And so it got transferred to another company, to another company, to another company, until I got to the fourth provider, which, let's put it this way, I was supposed to begin physical therapy last Thursday, and it didn't even start taking place until the following Tuesday. So there was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 5-day gap. In the case of a major, like, say, joint replacement, you don't have 5 days to wait around to get started on physical therapy.
No,
it can set you way back. And
exactly.
And the ERISA that covers this, for the public's knowledge, is only employer-provided insurance. If you have private insurance, we can sue them, get attorney's fees, all sorts of things. But if it's employer-provided, this is a federal override statute that would have applied to single payer that puts you in this position.
Well, exactly. And I think that's what everyone out there needs to realize. What we need is not a few big, giant corporate insurance pools. What we need is a bunch of state-to-state companies in competition with each other. And I think Dave Bolduc, who's online with us, would testify, having been in the insurance business, that that's really much more advantageous to the consumer. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I do not deal with health insurance companies. I do not, you know, place or broker or serve as an agent for health insurance. I'm a traditional property and casualty, and I could say that, you know, when you have competition from companies that can go across state lines and insure, you know, someone anywhere, they could be based in, you know, Seattle, Washington, and, you know, they write your auto insurance here in Florida. You could have a company that's based in Boston, and they write your property insurance here in Florida. So, having the ability where health insurance companies cannot currently go across state lines to compete, it is a big hindrance in terms of service and pricing.
Yeah, and in Florida...
Oh, I want to change gears on you guys for a minute, because I'm keeping up with this Professor Ford and her 36-year-old or 37-year-old allegations about something that happened with Brett Kavanaugh when they were both juveniles. I have to tell you, once we haven't even heard the quote, the actual allegations of what took place.
Right.
But this is a crime that the FBI should not be investigating. This is a local jurisdiction matter. I personally have investigated matters like this, of an accusation of what some one person did to another, and it was more than, you know, a few years old. I've investigated those. If the statute of limitations on the allegation had not run out, and if you could give specifics about the location, the date, you know, in other words, you can't just allege something took place between two people and expect an investigation if you cannot provide, you know, the who, what, where, when.
Right.
And she can't provide any of that
basic information. And there's no investigation possible based on what this alleged victim is throwing at Kavanaugh. And the other part of this, which I think is scandalous, and it's obvious, it's just being used as a political weapon, is that this has been sat on for months.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very clear what's going on here, and I'm actually of the opinion that even Senator Grassley, Chuck Grassley's bending over backwards where he should be, showing them the exit door and said, have a nice day.
Yeah, well, and you're not just talking, Joe. You remember, ladies and gentlemen, that Joe was a police officer, and then he was pretty much top-ranked detective in the city of Naples, and his nickname was the Molester Arrester, so this was his specialty. So Joe is speaking with a lot of concrete experience in this matter, and basically, this lady can't tell you where or when, with even within a year, or who else was there, or anything. And then she wants him to go first. And so it sounds like she wants him to create a story, or the FBI to create a story, and then her to blend her testimony into it.
Well, that's exactly right. Or to come up with an alternate story, and then they declare, well, he's lying under oath.
Right.
You know, and that's why what they're asking for is absolutely ridiculous. Any attorney asking for this knows it's ridiculous. So there's nothing here but an attempt to stall a process. And it's the most obvious and clear cases I've ever seen, because if she was going to declare that he actually did something to her, when they were both juveniles, by the way,
yeah,
allegedly both juveniles, you have to start with, you know, this happened to me at this person's home on approximately this date and approximately this year, and name other people that you thought were present. And when I understand, this is just anecdotal from what's on the news, that she even named some people that she thought were present, and they denied the whole allegation.
Yeah, they said they didn't happen.
And
yeah.
What I find amazing with this story, too, Joe, is that she supposedly never told anyone, not a friend, not a parent, family member, anyone, until, I think, 2012 in a therapy session or something of that nature. I mean, to me, firsthand, if this happened, she might be sketchy on the details, but I'm sure she would have mentioned it to a friend or something way back in the day.
Yeah, the other thing is, I understand there's an argument that under Maryland, there's no statute of limitations for sexual assault. But what everybody's skipping over is something you just mentioned, Joe. This occurred when they were juveniles. And therefore, I think that's a different set of rules. And in fact, this would have all been sealed way back when, as they were juveniles, unless they were tried as adults, correct?
Well, no, that part, what you just said, is accurate. In addition to that, you'd have to look at what the individual statutes are, how they're written in Maryland. But a sexual assault basically means you have to get to a certain point. So if someone walked up to someone and basically did a maneuver, let's say, like we had three presidents, where we had dope and change in Obama and we had grope and change with Clinton. You have to go back to, it would have to be something the equivalent or greater than a grope and change movement. In other words, that you would have had to put your hands on someone in a significant enough way to refer to it as an assault. You can't just kind of walk up to someone, maybe throw your arm around them, or make a suggestive statement, or something to that effect, when you're both drunk, and that qualifies as a sexual assault.
And there's
specific criteria and statutes you have to meet for those claims to be legitimized.
All right, Joe, we are coming up on our first break, and we'd love to come back to you. But first, I want to ask you a little bit about this sub that you like. Tell us about it.
Oh, my God, Neapolitan Gourmet. Okay. Vinny over at the Neapolitan Gourmet, whose brother, by the way, is in law enforcement, great guy. He's located at the corner of Bed Bath & Beyond Plaza, corner of Airport and Pine Ridge. If you want one of the best subs you've ever had, it will be the best sub you ever had. Go into the Neapolitan Gourmet and ask Vinny for look at the menu. He's got a whole bunch of different subs. I like the one where he puts capicola, ham, and a soppressata, which is the dried Genoa salami, on this big Italian roll with all kinds of great fixings. He makes you one of those. He gives you that. Not only will you be filled up beyond belief, it's going to be the best taste experience of a sub you've ever had in your life. Plus, he has all sorts of other Italian delicacies. He has homemade mozzarella and sausages in there, and just a variety of deli items that you can get to go. And that's the Neapolitan Gourmet. He's over on Pine Ridge and Airport Road in the Bed Bath & Beyond Plaza. Go check him out. You guys, we're going to have to get some of those for one of these Saturdays in the studio,
absolutely,
and just try them out ourselves.
All right, and we'll be right back.
98.9 WGUF.
This is the city, Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith, BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
Hey, do you want to save, I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today. Check them out on thejoewhiteheadshow.com.
And we are back live on the Joe Whitehead Show. And we had Joe on the phone earlier today, and he was telling a little story about his health insurance hell, and we appreciate him calling in. And we do take calls live at 430-2428. So if you do want to call, please call us. It's 239-430-CHAT, and we always welcome your calls. But we're coming back now to the frontline segment with Doug Rankin. And Doug, what do you got for us today?
Sure. First, I'm going to follow up on Joe's situation. What we need to do is get more of this away from the federal government and more of this in the states. Because right now I've got a couple of clients where their homeowners or business owners, insurance companies are being jerks. They're basically claiming that what happened didn't happen. And in Florida, there are filings I can make with the state. It's called a civil action filing and other things of that nature. And if they blow it on that, it's called bad faith. It's called attorney's fees. It's called triple damages. It's called all sorts of bad things. Mm-hmm. Because I think this one company where one of my clients, you know, it's a steel building and they had a neighboring gas canopy come off a neighboring business and bash into their roof and into the front of the building, and they had a tree go through their roof. And we've got videos of water just pouring in through the roof. And then the insurance company hired an engineer, because by the time they showed up a couple of weeks later, my clients have obviously mitigated the roof, you know, because they're required to do so. And they claim all the water blew in under the eaves and under the doors, which meant it was improper maintenance and they didn't have to pay. Oh, and this is, they're still maintaining that with an engineer's report, despite the fact that we have this video of water just pouring through the roof. I've got another client where they're claiming the roof is not damaged at all. There's just a few cracks in the tiles from people walking on them. The trouble is I got two roofers that says the hurricane beat the heck out of this roof. And here we sit. And by the way, be very, very careful who you contract with. There's a major retailer who is hiring contractors in this area. And I had a client whose roof was not damaged by the hurricane. And in November of last year, she just decided she'd go out and get a new roof. So she paid this company up front 100% to come in and fix her roof. They show up, their contractor shows up in May. And the first little rainstorm, she had water pouring into her kitchen through the new roof. And then the next rainstorm, she had water pouring through the entire house.
Oh, no.
Destroyed the entire house. And then for a while, they stepped up and did the right thing, and they started fixing everything. And then they just walked away. Mm. And that's going to be a very expensive lesson for that company and for the retailer, the national retailer they worked for. But that's, you know, we have all sorts of state remedies, but once you pull it away from the state with like ERISA or the single payer would pull this all away from the state, you're done. You know, you've got to, who here is going to find an attorney that'll work for free to go to federal court? Anyway, back to some things. Well, you were talking about Judge Kavanaugh here.
Uh-huh.
You know, quite frankly, you know, I could destroy anybody's character the way they're doing it if I were dishonest. And now we know how we can describe the other party. Dishonest. You know, I can say that sometime within a period of a year, at some party, I don't know where, this guy touched me. And everybody that's been identified as being at this alleged party says it never happened. And now she wants him to testify first so she can come in and fill in the details of something she can't remember. Well, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I went to high school in the early 70s in Florida. We had a few parties associated with that high school, quite a number of them. And I can remember every one of them. You know, I'm sure there's a few people in my high school that can't remember them all, but you know, and this is nonsense, you know, and this is farther along. I'm talking 73, 4, 5, mm-hmm. 72, 3, 4, 5. And I can remember those things. And this lady can't remember things from the 80s, and she can't remember what house, because if she told you which house or which date, then, of course, the people that would have owned that house are not that old by now. They'd still be alive. And so would all their brothers, sisters, friends, and all that. And all of a sudden, her story would fall apart. Now, if you look into this, this lady is an anti-Trump person, 100%. Her attorneys are all anti-Trump persons. This is just a put-up job. And in fact, there's something floating around Facebook that I shared the other day. It says the next Democrat that wants to run for a high office, we all ought to accuse them of doing all sorts of things with each other and with farm animals. And what the heck, you know, this is now open season.
Right. Yeah. Doug, if you have if you're an attorney and you have a client with a credible story, would you ever ask the defendant to testify first?
Of course not. And then I've got news for you. You know what happened if I asked a judge for that?
Yeah.
They'd suggest that I forgot to go to law school. They'd suggest that they want to know how I passed the bar, and they'd want me to get the heck out of their courtroom and quit wasting their time. And it might not be that polite. You know, this is nonsense. This is political theater. This is desperate Democrats doing everything they can, because if they can't control, if you talk to Roger Stone and all anybody else who understands how these people work, they've got to control the media, the education system, and the courts. If they do that, they don't care if they win elections or not, because they can mess with everything in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're about ready to lose the courts,
yep.
Both at the national level and the state level, hopefully, vote for our Republican candidate for governor, because if that Democrat gets in, number one, he's going to bankrupt this state. Number two, this state's population is going down in a hurry, because everybody that came here for low taxes is going to leave. And everybody that owns a business here is going to starve when that happens. And, you know, we just cannot. We got to vote for DeSantis, because if that socialist under FBI investigation from Mayor of Tallahassee gets elected, this state's done. And in a whole bunch of ways. And we're all broke, because the taxes he'd have to raise to pay for his programs are out of this world. And also, one of them, either Gillenham or whatever his name is, and DeSantis is going to appoint 3 or 4 justices to the Florida Supreme Court. The reason we can calculate that, and you can't do that at the federal level, they're in there for life until they die, or until somebody declares them senile or they retire. And declaring them senile involves impeachment. Good luck with that.
Right.
In Florida, you are deemed senile as a judge, currently at 70, and if the thing that which should pass under the constitutional amendments, it'll be 75.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to leave. You can come back as a retired judge and do trial cases, but you're off the Court of Appeals, you're off the Supreme Court at a given age. So that's how we can calculate this. Mm-hmm. Because nobody's ever been removed under merit retention. It's the biggest scam going that the Democrats got in there years ago. So basically, we need to make sure, because this governor is going to be like this president. They're going to get to decide the future of this court for the next 20, 30 years. And I'll tell you, you know, and I'll talk about there's one ballot initiative you will not see on the ballot, which is the one y'all are concerned about, about education, giving these charter schools the ability to operate in a county without being under the thumb of the school board. Well, I don't know how this Florida Supreme Court determined that could be unconstitutional when it's an amendment to the Constitution. And I don't understand. Basically, what they said is that we're all too stupid to to vote for it because the ballot initiative wasn't clear enough. You know, that's the kind of people we need to get off.
Yep.
And we need to get move forward on this. But anyway, back to more fun things.
You know, I want to go back to that, if you don't mind, or that race, the governor's race. You know, I've seen articles in other various Florida newspapers how the polling shows that, Gillum is in the lead. But do you have any type of Republican internal polling that shows something different?
I'm going to tell you about that, what I told you about President Trump getting elected a couple of weeks ahead of the election back in October, November of 16. I was at a group a meeting with the vice president, a whole bunch of people from England and UK and all that, and across the country. And we all said Brady and Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, Brexit passed, even though the polls said it was dead in the water when it came forth in England. And Brady is the effect of, it's hard to publicly come out and say you're going to vote against somebody when they're a minority or something of that nature, but you really are, especially when they're, never mind the race. We're talking socialist, doesn't understand how much the corporate tax raises in Florida, and because that's where he's going to get all this money, you understand. He's not going to tax us. He's not going to go for a state income tax, which he couldn't pass anyway. You know, he's gonna go for this raising the corporate tax, and that's going to pay for all his programs. It won't even put a drop in the bucket. And, you know, this guy doesn't understand how to pay for something. He sure as heck shouldn't be the chief executive of the state of Florida. And, you know, by the way, guys, inheritance tax, estate tax, income tax in Florida, they're not just statutes. That's part of the Florida Constitution. Everybody on Tallahassee can stand on their head for a week, and they can't raise or enact such a thing unless they get the Constitution amended. And that ain't going to happen. The last Democratic governor in this state, which is Walken Lawton Chiles, tried that. He tried cutting off all the social programs, made a lot of poor people and sick people suffer to try and force us into passing a income tax, and the state of Florida people said, yeah, good, right, yeah, uh-huh, sure, get lost.
All right, we are actually up on our second break, and Joe likes to talk about AC by Florida Comfort Systems. They are locally owned and operated by Denny Martin. He's a veteran, and you can reach them at 774-5501 or at acbyfcs.com. That's acbyfcs.com. All employees are background checked and drug tested. They're the ones with the cool dog logo on the trucks. And I get to say that a couple months ago, I actually had to give them a call and they over the weekend and they took great care of me. So don't forget AC by Florida Comfort Systems, 774-5501. And we'll be right back.
98.9 WGUF.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
This is the city, Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith, BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
And welcome back to the Joe Whitehead Show. You have Dave Bolduc filling in as a guest host along with John DePrisco and Doug Rankin. And I want to immediately go to our guest who's called in, and that is attorney Steve Bracci. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, David, and everyone else.
Good, good. Hey, you did a lot of analysis and a lot of work a few years ago when Naples NCH paid an undisclosed amount of money to the Blue Zones project and Dan Buettner, who heads up the Blue Zones project, to bring the greatness of the Blue Zones to Naples. And it was just supposed to increase our, you know, overall wellness and well-being across the board. And we were told it was going to be wonderful, and you know this wasn't going to be some type of you know financial scam whatsoever. And of course, the Naples Daily News, you know, lauded it as just the greatest thing since sliced bread. When recently an article came out from Charleston, South Carolina, the Charleston Post and Courier, how Blue Zones was looking to be paid $10 million to go in and do their Blue Zones magic to the city of Charleston. And from what I understand, the Charleston Post and Courier actually exposed this as a for-profit operation where Dan Buettner would make a minimum of $2.5 million in profit from this, and that really the wellness goals were undisclosed. And because of they couldn't find anyone to pay them $10 million, they're leaving Charleston hat in hand.
That's right, David. That's exactly what happened, as reported by the Post and Courier this week. And you know, they even brought in the big dog himself, Dan Buettner, to make a last-ditch, you know, pitch to the leaders of Charleston to try to bring this thing in across the line. And when it didn't happen, Dan Buettner, you know, immediately attacked the media, ironically. He said the media has to be on board, and if the local media is going to bash us every step of the way, that's a big deterrent. Apparently, all the media did was to question this, you know, the effectiveness of Blue Zones, you know, in other cities around the country. But according to Buettner, you know, apparently if they're not just, you know, completely, you know, in the tank for the Blue Zones, then apparently they're the enemy and they've just scuttled the whole thing, you know. But, you know, the interesting thing is if you think about it, you know, de facto, if the Blue Zones got passed here and if the media had to be on board, what does that say about the Naples Daily News? Because keep in mind, Bill Barker, the president and publisher of the Naples Daily News, he actually sat on that Blue Zone steering committee. And when they got this thing passed in July of 2015, they were all instructed to keep, including public officials, you know, they were instructed to keep the Blue Zones from being a public record, and they were instructed not to disclose that they were about to sign it until after everyone had signed it. And, you know, true to form, I think the newspaper never published anything while this was going to get signed up by everyone, including Barker. So what does that say about our paper here locally and how much, you know, they're beholden to sort of the elite, you know, insider class here in Collier County, kind of like what's going on at the federal level, you know, where the FBI and the DOJ are basically orchestrating with the media, you know, to basically run the deep state. I mean, it seems to me in this article, Dan Buettner just exposed, you know, the playbook here locally.
It also sounds exactly like global warming. It also sounds exactly like what I ran over a few minutes ago. You get those three groups involved and you got the thing.
You know, yeah. I find it amazing that so essentially the publisher of the Naples Daily News sat in on the meetings with local government officials from the city of Naples, from the county, from the school district. The superintendent Patton was on this Blue Zone steering committee, and they were given documents that said sign up for this whole Blue Zones project and don't tell the public anything about this until you sign the documents. So essentially, the publisher of the Naples Daily News heard this firsthand and did not report on anything until the Blue Zones project was signed for an undisclosed amount of money.
David, it literally said that the project manager for Blue Zones passed around the blueprint. That's going to be the document that approves this program, implements it in our community, implements on it on our students and kids in the school district, and it says, here's the blueprint, and says, this document shall not be public record or shared until after you sign it in July. This went to Superintendent Patton. This went to the mayor of Naples. This went to one of the county commissioners, I think Penny Taylor. It went to Bill Barker. You know, and as far as I can tell, instead of being the newspaper of record reporting something so significant that's going to be implemented on our kids in this neighborhood, the newspaper did as instructed and withheld it from the people.
That's
the newspaper we have. Keep in mind, think about how they bash on conservatives in this town. Think about how they bashed on Kelly Lichter and Erica Donalds. Think about every time when they're reporting on a board, how they talk about boards have to have civility. And if there's a board member who's not lockstep with the liberals in this town, they're considered to be uncivil, you know? I mean, this is our newspaper that reports in this town.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing is Dan Buettner didn't have full buy-in from the newspaper of record in Charleston, South Carolina, the Post and Record. He's quoted as saying he felt the newspaper's coverage made him feel like, quote, he was invited to dinner and got punched in the face just for asking questions about the Blue Zones project.
Well, the other thing is, I'd like to know how much money they made here if this has now come out in Charleston. You know, and I have nothing against people making money and profit and all that. But number one, it's off the public tax dollars, which means it needs to have a full debate. And number two, they need to be upfront about it, that this isn't just all, kumbaya. It's somebody's trying to make money, too. Hey, great. You know, let's
bet. That's exactly right, Doug. Because, you know, it's interesting. If you look at where this Blue Zones have been implemented around the country, it all has the same thing. You know, Charleston, South Carolina, Naples, Florida, Yakima, Washington. These are all like high wealth markets. They don't need the extra wellness. You know, why not go to Arkansas and inner city Detroit and places like that? You know, it seems to me that the other common denominator is it's usually the local hospital or the local insurance provider. There's some niche and there's something that NCH seems to have been able to get out of this, whether it's tax treatment or something else. So maybe they needed some wellness program to qualify for tax treatment or Medicare. They wouldn't tell us. And I've tried to ask. I tried to get a copy of their contract with Blue Zones from Alan Weiss and his attorney, and I was basically summarily shot down by that and said, you'll never get it. I mean, they basically went around in this town to get this Blue Zones project passed. They spent, Alan Weiss with NCH, spent a year of his life pushing this thing through. You don't implement your CEO for a year's worth of time unless you're getting something out of it. And they never would tell us what's in it for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. When you not disclose anything, I'm sure it's all good. Yeah. What a lot of people might not think, it's like, well, you have, the NCH is a private corporation. They're allowed to pay, these Blue Zones guys to come in here for an undisclosed amount of money. And, Blue Zones can make some profit. But it's actually worse than that. The Blue Zones is measured on the wellness initiatives that they bring in to a local area. And as soon as the documents were signed years ago, one of those initiatives is they got the city of Naples to spend over $4 million of city taxpayer money to reconstruct Central Avenue. So it would have rotaries and bike lanes and all, this and that. So then years later, the Blue Zones can say, you know what, we're going to, keep a much more profitability because we increase so much more wellness by increasing these bike lanes and having more walking areas. And, well, you know what, those things were constructed with your tax dollars.
Yeah, and by the way, I used to bike through a couple of those rotaries, and I happened to bike through there one day when the engineer and the builder who built them happened to be standing there. And I go, okay, guys, would you please explain to me how I get through this with a bike? And these two guys standing there couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they built it.
It's crazy. I mean, my son went to middle school there, and so I did traveled that road quite a bit. And the bike lane literally goes on the side of the road, and then when you get to the rotary, the bike lane goes onto the sidewalk.
Except if you do that, you have to make 90-degree turns,
right,
go in a loop, make another 90-degree turn, another 90-degree turn. So you're crossing a couple of roads of traffic. Or you just say the heck with it, and you just go through the rotary like you're a car,
yep,
which is what everybody does. And it's probably more dangerous there than it is anywhere else. And you notice they have the curbs on those rotaries fixed so you can go over them, because a lot of big trucks, cars, or things towing things, like I used to go through there all the time with, you can't possibly do that with them. You've got to go over the curb in order to go through there. In fact, I cheat and go to First Avenue South occasionally to bypass those on Central, and go to First Avenue South and then First Avenue North. And like...
And Steve, and one of the other items too is in the article, it said Buettner said that the public felt that, you know, we're just going to come in here and control everything and, you know, make decisions for everyone. And that was basically the story. We were told the opposite when they brought this to the school district. Would you say that was truly the case, where they didn't want to control anything?
No, I mean, they basically said this is what, you know, they make it sound like they're not controlling anything, but then they have all these criteria that you have to meet. So, in essence, they're controlling everything, right? I mean, yeah it's
and the
whole
thing is
none of it really makes a lot of sense, other than the fact that, you know, Buettner seems to be making money off it, and it seems to be a checkbox for NCH so that they can qualify for something, and they're not telling us what, you know? And the officials in this town went along with it. And where do all those officials sit, by the way? They all sit, like, you know, they all meet, you know, a lot of these people are meeting together in the Naples Chamber and other boards. You know, you're not seeing this stuff happen at the school board meeting or at the county commission meeting. It's all these, like, other sub-boards in this town where these guys meet and liaise, and the people get disenfranchised. You know, our public, we elect our public officials, but our public officials aren't doing the business, and they're, you know, on their dais. You know, it seems like they're doing business on these sub-meetings that they all have all over town.
Yeah, and the people that they're helping really are not the group that needs the help. They don't need to help the rich retired people because they've got the money and the time to go eat right. It's us busy
right.
people who don't have the time to eat right, or the poor people that eat out of 7-Eleven when they eat all that terrible food. And, you know, things like that, or whatever, you know, convenience store or whatever, or fast food, because they can't afford anything else. Those are the people that need the help, not the rich people in Fifth Avenue.
When they did this Blue Zones project, they broke Collier County into regions, and the last region to get implemented is Immokalee. You know, it should be the other way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you find me a health food restaurant in
Port Royal, you know, learn how to be healthy,
right,
you know?
Well, Steve, we're about to come up on break. Is there anything we can do as citizens that you might be able to recommend?
I think, you know, honestly, I think this whole thing's going to die on the vine, you
okay.
know, because the people aren't behind this thing. The people that are, you know, they're propping this thing up with, you know, the support of, you know, the comrades in town, you know, but I don't think the people are behind it. I just think we, the people, are going to, this thing will die on its own death.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, the healthy people are going to stay healthy, and the other people that aren't or can't afford to or don't have the time to aren't. And that's just the way it is, you know, unless and until you change that.
So, Steve, we appreciate you calling in and bringing this to our attention. And
my pleasure, guys.
Yeah. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
And we are on our third break, and Joe likes to talk about Alessi Family Care. They are at alessifamilycare.com, and you can reach them at 992-5444. And it's Dr. Al and Dr. Patricia and their physician assistant, Aaron. And I've been going, and my family have been going to them for over 19 years. My kids love Aaron, and we call him Mr. Dr. Alessi and Mrs. Dr. Alessi. And again, you can reach them at 992-5444 or alessifamilycare.com, and we will be right back.
98.9 WGUF Naples FM Talk. Now you can listen live at WGUF989.com.
Hey, do you want to save? I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today.
Check them out on the JoeWhiteheadShow.com.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done.
Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
And we are back on the Joe Whitehead Show. You can reach us at 430-2428. And it does look like we have a caller on the line. And Ron, how are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I have a great book, I think, that would be very beneficial to the, to Americans.
Okay.
It's called, the author is Bruce Lancaster. The name of the book is From Lexington to Yorktown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the title says it all. And if you read the study and read the book, it's a great book for, you know, children that want to know what America's about.
Yeah.
As I get tired of getting, you know, I'm supposed to be ashamed of being American, you know. It's like, stuff you.
Yeah, I have heard of this book, and I did not read it, but I understand that, you know, it's very good in how it goes into the background of that particular period of time in the Revolutionary War and leading up to it.
Right. It's actually, it's almost like a historical book more than a, you know, like a novel or something like
right.
that. You know, it's more based on the facts of the different, you know, different soldiers they have in the, throughout the colonies and this and that. But it gives you a really good overview of why America is a great country, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was some amazing times.
And why the Constitution
times.
With the checks and the balances and everything else is just awesome.
Yeah,
that's great. I mean, that's in direct contrast to the textbooks that they're bringing in here in Collier County.
Oh, the propaganda. you know, brainwashing.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, let's face it.
Well, Ron, we appreciate the call.
But other than that, it's been great talking to you, and
yeah,
I hope that book makes wings and it gets going on, you know?
Well, we can only hope. So thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's talk about the new news that blew up on Friday. And, of course, if you want to bury something, release it on Friday. You know all those emails and other things the FBI and Justice has been reluctant to release, even though Trump has declassified them?
Right.
Well, it appears one of them talks about Mr. Rosenstein, who's the one who's controlling the Russia probe, wanted to wear a wire in a plot to remove Trump because he wanted to record him saying things that he thought he could use to remove Trump on the 25th Amendment. And this is so we've got the guy who's controlling the Russia probe out trying to remove the president himself. Now all of a sudden, since this has come out, of course, the document hadn't been released yet, but this is leaked out. And if you want to kill something, leak it on a Friday.
So the guy who's running the Russia probe, he obviously has zero information to remove the president based on the Russia probe.
Right.
So he suggested wearing a wire to entrap him, the president, so he could remove him.
Correct. You know, and the other question I'd have, by the way, is about classified information being disseminated because they're sure that he'd be standing around the president and overhear things, and the wire would too, that are classified, and no telling who who would have been going to. So he'd blow a few laws there. But, you know, and of course, they're trying to play it off as a joke. They're trying to blunt when this paper really does come out. And I'll tell you, you know, over the years, I did have time to be involved in matters that were classified. And sometimes things are classified for good reason, and sometimes they're classified to not make people look stupid or not make people go to jail for things they should have went to jail for. And so it's pretty apparent that Rosenstein and his group have been redacting and pushing back against Trump releasing these documents for a good reason. Their own posteriors is a good ring. Now, the other thing is, and all you conservatives out there like me who are being discriminated against by Facebook and the like, White House is considering putting together an order that would trigger antitrust against online platform bias against conservatives. So, isn't that good? Because what we have now, you know, in 2014, Obama used the IRS to blunt the Tea Parties. Now Tech is using their power to try and blunt Republicans in this election. So something we got to do something about.
You know, going back to that, you know, the social media sites blocking conservatives, and that's very important because we all know that they influenced the election by the Russians placing about 40 Facebook ads swung the election to Trump. So this is a big deal.
Yeah, well, but people like Roger Stone and all that, they're very middle of the road conservatives, are being blocked by this. Mm-hmm. And remember that old saying, you know, at first they came for the, you know, Catholics, and I wasn't Catholic, so I didn't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And next they came for this group and that group, and I didn't care because I wasn't a part of that group. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to defend me.
Yep.
Remember that saying, guys, because that's what's happening here, and this is real. But the thing I've got to tell you is we've got to encourage Republicans to get out and work to on this election. We've got to encourage Republicans to get out and vote. Because the reason those polls read the way you said they did earlier on governor is it's like 96 or 97% of the Democrats are going to vote for that socialist, and only 83% of Republicans and nonpartisan people are going two-thirds for that socialist. That means we haven't gotten the word out about him and his FBI investigation and his unable to add and subtract about taxes and all this kind of stuff. And what effect that would have on Florida. And we need people to get out and do that. Go to callyourgop.org. Go to the local Trump Club websites. They're going to be holding calling sessions. And for God's sakes, get out and vote and encourage your people to get out and vote. Because if we think we got this in the bag and we stay home, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's what the Democrats are counting on.
Trump was saying last night at his rally, don't be complacent.
Yeah, and, you know, look at that rally. There were people standing in line for 2 blocks to get into that, or 2 miles. I forget which it is. I saw it on Drudge this morning. And people can stand in line for 2 miles to get into a rally. We can darn well get out and make a few phone calls or convince a few friends to get out and vote. Or we can get off our keisters in early voting or in election day and get out and vote. And by the way, if you're going to use a mail ballot, update your signature, because I stand there and cringe of people who haven't updated their signatures in 20 or 30 years, get their ballots rejected. Mm. And if they get rejected and you're up north, they're going to send the letter to your local house. So you're not going to hear about it. And get out there and make sure we vote for DeSantis. We vote for all the other other people they're going. And oh, by the way, county judge. Jim Moon's the Republican, the other guy's the Democrat. And also, Matt Caldwell is having a fundraiser. He's running for agriculture commissioner. Those of you who don't know him, he's a legislator here in for Lee County. His family's been here since the 1800s sometime, and he's been involved in agriculture his whole life. And it's Tuesday, September 25th at 11 to 11:45 a.m. at the Ritz-Carlton Naples on Vanderbilt Beach Road. As you know, we're one of the only cities in the world that has 2 Ritz-Carltons. This is the one on the beach. Anyway, but there are a lot of things going on here about where there
and
are
if I could
opportunities
just,
to make phone calls and take care of these kinds of things.
I could just tell people we got a few minutes left. You want to call in? We're at 430-2428. Get your calls in now. And if you don't have time to call in, then call in next week.
Because, Doug, do you get any updates from the Republican Party on what Gillum's doing, what his schedule
is? Oh, yes, I do.
Is he going to be in the area?
I don't know about that, but I've got 3 updates from the Republican Party. Andrew Gillum stands with the Coward of Broward Sheriff.
Oh.
Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He's about the only sheriff in the state that's endorsing Gillum, and it's the Coward of Broward, the guy who did not stop Parkland. Speaking
of that sheriff, why hasn't the Governor Scott removed that guy?
I wish I could tell you the answer. Governor Scott, pull him, please. but I think he wants to be overly fair, and he figures, you know, the voters in that area. But I happen to be on the East Coast on Tuesday. It was on Wednesday. And there was a talk radio show over there, and they had an hour with their sheriff, Broward Sheriff. And he was on there talking and conversing with his people like nothing had ever happened with Parkland, that he didn't have any of these issues. He wasn't facing possible removal. and they were talking with him like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's what happens when you live in a big county where you have public relations of the whole thing. It's not word of mouth. Here in Naples, you know, a sheriff in that circumstance would be hiding in the corner somewhere.
Right.
And also,
was David Hogg there?
Excuse me?
Was David Hogg there?
No, this was just the radio host and the sheriff were on the radio for an hour when I was driving over there in Coral Springs, I think it was. Yeah, Coral Springs. And like, also, we've got a situation here where the League of Women Voters is essentially now become a branch of the Democratic Party. And there's a lot of good conservative women out there, but they sure don't belong. If they do belong to this organization, they sure don't have a voice there.
Well, in Florida, didn't they partner with the ACLU to get that constitutional amendment question removed?
Right, regarding schools. And by the way, I'll tell you a couple of things here. I've got a joke for you here, and I've got something else that's true that should be a joke. The head of the NEA a few years ago said, "The day students can pay union dues, I'll worry about their needs."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the thing. And here's a joke for you, too. The worst foursome in golf history: Stormy Daniels, O.J. Simpson, Ted Kennedy, and Bill Clinton.
Oh, my.
Stormy is a hooker. O.J. is a slicer. Ted can't drive over water. And Bill can't remember which hole he played last.
Oh, no.
I think we did pass the censor on that one, but barely.
Well, and we are up at the end of the day.
And by the way, too, I enjoyed the other day Hillary trying to squirm between not criticizing Bill and criticizing Judge Kavanaugh. That was the most entertaining 15 minutes I watched.
All right. And so, Dave, you have anything for us next 10 seconds?
No, just enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Indeed. And Doug, anything? 10 seconds?
Get out there, work, vote. If you don't work and you don't vote, we don't win, and bad things happen.
All right, and I want to thank everybody and all of our callers. And everybody remember, keep the grill hot
and the beer cold.
Thanks, all.